Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. We are going to continue with our reading of Black Brick. Here is an excerpt of what we read last week. Shannon was a mess, though. The cut on her head had stopped bleeding, but we'd have to stop to clean the blood off her face and out of her hair. Luckily, her coat had taken the worst of the blood, and once we ditched it, she would look presentable. I had a sudden thought and checked my pocket. The pistol I had used to shoot out the window was missing. I tried to remember what I'd done with it after I'd used it last. I was drawing a blank. Had I set it down on one of the seats, or had it come out of my pocket during the explosion? I berated myself for not thinking about it until now, and turned back to the car as the sound of sirens filled the air. There was not time to go back. That was one unnecessary piece of evidence that should not have been left behind. I still had another one on me, in addition to the backup I kept on my ankle, but Beltran would not be happy. He hated to get his hands involved in other agencies to clean up a mess. And now, 11. As I stepped into the high-rise office building, I resisted shaking my head to get the ringing out of my ears. From what I could tell, my hearing was normal, even though it felt like there was cotton in them. It had been close to an hour since we'd left the site of the train bombing, and I hoped that the ringing would soon go away. It was making my headache worse. Or maybe it was the other way around. Shannon and I had popped into the bathroom of a gas station and done our best to clean up. I had smoothed out my hair and done what I could to make my coat presentable. I was lucky that I was wearing a black shirt as well as a black suit. The blood stains that I was sure were there were not showing. There were several minor tears in the fabric of my suit jacket, but nothing that would cause the casual passerby to take special note of me. If anyone looked too closely, they might wonder, but I doubted that anyone would suspect that I had survived an explosion. Despite our better judgment, we'd also taken a moment to call Black Brick to give an update on what had happened. Beltran's voice was calm, but I could tell he was struggling to keep it that way. Initially, he ordered us back to Black Brick. I had pointed out that Cherry and Tom were chasing a madman with a team of thugs by themselves, so unless he was willing to call them back as well, we needed to catch up. There had been a long pause before he had spoken. Find Lauren Griffith and Payne. Kill Payne if you have to. Then get back here. It won't be long before the police are looking for you. And all that confusion, somebody took pictures of you two. Guarantee it. Shannon had entered the building ahead of me. She had done a better job at cleaning up. After she ditched her coat, she almost looked normal. She'd let her hair down and did a good job of covering up the cut on the side of her head. There was also a wound on her hand that still had a raw look to it, but it had stopped bleeding. While I waited for Shannon at the gas station earlier, I had used my phone to check the news. I had been surprised that the media had not yet picked up on the fact that it had been a bomb. The accident was being explained as a collision between the two trains. That would not last for much longer, but for the moment it meant that other than official personnel, the average person would not have any clue that something more sinister had happened. It would provide us with a time buffer in which to apprehend Payne and Griffith. The lobby of the office building was spacious, with a marble floor, plush couches, and expensive chandeliers. There were several televisions that were turned to the news. They were featuring footage of the train wreck from helicopters. "Do you see him?" Shannon asked me. I shook my head. We were looking for Tom. Shannon's call to Cherry earlier had gone to voicemail, so she had left a brief message and then tried Tom. He had picked up on the first ring. After telling us the address of a building Payne had disappeared into and complaining that he could not find Cherry, he had hung up. Shannon, who had recognized the address Tom provided, had been asking what floor they were on when he had disconnected. She had tried calling him back, but he did not answer. When I had suggested that she send a text, she had rolled her eyes as she began to type. That had been over 50 minutes ago, and he still had not texted back. When she noticed me looking, Shannon checked her phone again and shook her head. I surveyed the lobby, trying to decide what to do next. The office building had a parking garage that was several levels deep, so we would not be able to observe all of the exit points of the building from here. There was a coffee shop nearby with tables that spilled out into the open area, and there was not an empty table to be found. The other side of the lobby had vendors selling newspapers, magazines, and bagels. I was trying to decide what to do next when Shannon spotted Tom walking purposefully toward us and elbowed me in the side. I refrained from flinching in pain. She had not been very gentle about it. I did not know if she had not been paying attention to what she was doing, or if she was still trying to displace her guilt as anger towards me. Tom shook our hands with a warm smile on his face as if he were greeting clients. He pointed out a stairwell, and we followed him towards it. "Couldn't come a little faster?" Tom asked, looking at me when he was sure there wasn't anybody within earshot of us. "I will hold you responsible if anything happens to Cherry. Lucky for you, we were able to track down a keycard before we became separated." "Turns out your past comes in useful, eh?" I said, assuming he had stolen it. "You did not have to come for us. You let us slow you down." Like everybody else, Tom did not talk about his life before he had joined Beltran's little organization. But I had gathered enough to know that he was an experienced thief, which was surprising considering he had been recruited as a kid. I had wondered what set of circumstances had pushed him to the wrong side of the law so early in life, but had not tried to dig into it. There was an unspoken expectation that we did not share much about our past lives. We certainly did not ask questions about others. Tom did not answer as he unlocked the door and let us in, still playing the part of a professional with his clientele. "What is it with you two?" Shannon said once the door to the stairwell was shut behind us. "You remind me of brothers." "You don't have to like somebody to respect them enough to work with them," Tom said. "You think I respect you?" I countered, showing more hostility than I wanted to. I was irritated that he had decided on his own to meet us and then griped about having to wait. Shannon's comment reminded me of something Cherry had said on our flight to San Diego when we had a few minutes alone at the airport. Tom and I had been snapping at each other again. "The problem between you and Tom has more to do with Shannon than either of you would care to admit." I had not responded because I was not going to let Cherry fish any details out of me. I did not know what Shannon or I had done to make her suspect something, but I would not do anything to confirm it. I had even considered making a comment about her and Martinez, but I had let it pass. Was Shannon the reason that Tom had come to meet us in the lobby? Was he interested in making sure that she had an extra person to protect her? If that were his reasoning, it would be on him if anything happened to Cherry. The more I thought about it, the more convinced I became that I was right. "Quit it, you two," Shannon said, breaking into my thoughts. "I won't put up with this for much longer and may have to shoot one of you." "Hey, I was polite," Tom said, flashing an ingratiating but annoying smile. I did not reply as I went up the stairs, two at a time. I was sweating a bit by the time we reached the ninth floor, but was not breathing heavily. Being in shape had its benefits. Shannon was covered in a sheen of sweat that made her more attractive. Tom was panting, but I decided not to point it out. Cherry was on the 10th floor when I last heard from her. "I'll open the door," Shannon said, snatching the keycard away from Tom before he could react. He made a face which he quickly shifted into a smile. I chuckled, pulling out my pistol. "I will go first." I maneuvered the slide back to load around and held it as it returned, keeping the whole process as quiet as possible. I received a curious look from Shannon. She had seen me fire my gun earlier. I should have already had a round chambered. She did not comment, though. I was not looking forward to telling Beltran that I had lost a pistol. "How about a few less explosions?" Tom whispered. Shannon had filled Tom in about the train on the way up. She had done a decent job of telling the story even-handedly. Unfortunately, even I could not deny that it sounded like I had miscalculated. I had not bothered to interject any of the details that she either had not noticed or had not thought important to include because I did not care what Tom thought. Shannon stifled a laugh but couldn't quite hide her smile. Not only was the joke in poor taste, but what had happened to stop fighting? I focused on the target we used at the shooting range, a silhouette with a red circle on the chest, and imagined it with Tom's face plastered at the top. "Let's go," I said. We went up the next flight of stairs, and Shannon slid the keycard and opened the door. I crouched and peeked to the other side. A woman was disappearing around a corner on the right. I only saw her from behind, but it was enough to know that it was not Cherry or Lauren Griffith. Holding my hands out to the others to keep them back, I waited for several counts before entering the hallway. I kept my pistol at my side to keep it hidden. I had been expecting a lobby when I opened the door, but instead I was facing a glass wall that gave a view of the city. I could see a trail of smoke to the south that I attributed to the train bombing, and I wondered how Malcolm was doing. My next thought was of him sitting down with a detective and giving up every last detail. I hoped that he at least tried to be accurate in his rendition of the facts. Beltran was going to be upset if pictures of us surfaced, and it might help if we came off as heroes instead of villains. Even if that did happen, it would not matter. I would have to start wearing makeup, and my Sam Shiver identity would be useless. At least then, maybe I could stop attending class. I repressed a snort. That was not likely to happen. Beltran might force us to undergo plastic surgery, but we would still have to go to class. There was a small table with a vase that had fresh flowers. I had been hoping that we would be entering a workspace that had little happening. The flowers dashed my hopes. The carpet was brown and flat, the type of carpet that is used in high traffic areas. A woman just disappeared down the hall, I pointed. It was not Cherry or Griffith. Any idea how many people are on this floor? Tom shook his head. I hadn't made it very far before I had to come get you guys. Cherry's last text said that she had followed them to a large conference room. It should not be too hard to find. You guys want the left or the right? We will go right, Shannon said. I did not have any objections. If that woman I saw earlier turned out to be a threat, it made more sense for both of us to go in her direction rather than to send Tom alone. Tom went left, but not before he gave Shannon a smile. There was something about that guy that got under my skin, and I didn't think it had as much to do with Shannon as Cherry believed. You know he's already lost, right? Shannon said once he was out of earshot. I tried to keep my face free of emotion, not wanting to let on to the fact that she had come close to reading my mind. Her sly smile told me that I had failed. She held her pistol by her side and winked at me. Now, the only thing you've got to do is not mess it up. Despite my focus, my heartbeat quickened. Part of me hated the effect that she had on me, and of course, the other part loved it. Start planning on the mess-ups now. It might help to forgive me ahead of time. Sorry, no pre-forgiveness for you. All my instincts told me not to do it. We had just survived an explosion. The enemy could be anywhere. Tom was just down the hall, but one of us might not make it out of this building alive. I pulled her in and kissed her. And why not? Death was always close by anyway. Well, look who has decided he's willing to kiss me in public, Shannon said. Her smile showed all of her teeth. Two smiles in one day. That had to be some kind of record. Are you sure you did not suffer some brain damage? Tom could look back at any moment. In answer, I kissed her again, trying to hide my annoyance with her last comment. The thought of sneaking around under the nose of our team members excited her more than I liked. I did not know what to make of it, but could not stop from looking over her shoulder towards Tom. It did not appear that he had seen us, and I was mostly glad that he had not. I was surprised that there was a part of me that wished he had. I had thought I was above petty jealousy like that. Let's find the conference room. I tried to suppress my worry that somebody was going to find out about us. It would be nice when we passed our final test and could move out of Blackbrick. I hated knowing that a camera was always watching my every move when I was in my one-room apartment there. We cleared the hallway without incident for the first few doors, making me wonder if the floor was deserted. All of the doors we had tried so far had been unlocked and empty. I was expecting to find the typical office furnishings, but the rooms were bare. I wondered how many unused offices were on this floor. Perhaps this was why Payne had come here. It might make a good place to stash Griffith. Even though I was glad we were working on a floor that appeared empty, I was careful to not let down my guard. There was a reason why there had been fresh flowers. As we moved down the hall, I could feel the worry seeping into my bones. When we did find somebody else, I would have to make a split-second decision on whether or not they posed a threat. Normally, this wouldn't have bothered me, but the death count for the day was already too high. I wanted to avoid any more civilian deaths. I took a deep breath and reminded myself that this was why we wore body armor. We had time to assess the situation. We were working on the fifth door of a connecting hallway when we came across somebody else. I was on one side of the doorway, and Shannon had grabbed the handle and was about to push the door in when I heard a door open behind me. I turned in time to see a woman step into the hall. She saw my gun and disappeared back into her office. Cursing, I chased her. When I got to her door, the woman was standing at her desk with the receiver of her office phone to her ear, frantically dialing numbers. I moved to the desk and disconnected the call. First off, I told her, we're... The woman interrupted me. Don't kill me. I won't tell anybody what your face looks like. I have a bad memory. She still held the receiver in one hand, and she was shaking. I felt bad. It had not been my intention to scare her, but the last thing we needed were the police showing up. I used my free hand to take the receiver and place it in the cradle of the phone. She took a step back and held up her hands. It might help if you got the gun out of her face, Shannon said as she came into the office. She took up a position at the side of the door where she could look out into the hallway. I smiled, feeling a little awkward as I lowered my gun. In the confusion, I had not noticed that I was pointing it at her. Becca, I said, reading the name plaque on the woman's desk. We are not going to hurt you, but I can't let you call for help. At least, not yet. We heard voices from the hallway, and Shannon closed the door. For the last time, who are you with? It was pain. There was a pause. I am not with anybody, Cherry said, her voice a small squeak. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.